Activating meridians. Arrangement. Instability in field. Negative. Charge aligning matrix field. Positive. Coordinates reached, Commander.
Activate the Shade field.
Activations of multidimensional engines.
Launch communications probe.
Power levels to maximum.
Activate all dimensional levels of communication.
Communication established.
The voice you hear is known as Bob. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached our destination. This is the last slave planet in the galaxy. Under all agreements, under all rights, under galactic law, we now proclaim this planet free. The dissension of the true human consciousness has begun.
Energizing Shambhala Diamonds.
The men, women, and children of this planet are now set free.
Renfields activated.
You have already reached.
Activate Shambhala Diamond.
Critical mass.
Integration onto microcosm, expanding linear space.
Prepare for landing.
Press the green button.
Free space activation.
Clocks and all that. It's supposed to get warmer in the north. I'm absolutely, you know, it was a nice day today. It looked nice and I went out and I was freezing my watsits off. So, you know, all this technology we've got on Earth, I can tour around the world now. So what is it, 1,800 people for a totally free of charge on a totally free Linux server. World's first free radio, completely free, totally. Well, all right, then, 98%. We've still got a Skype line going into it, but VoIP's coming, and then we'll have a separate server, and then that'll all be done and dusted. Nearly there. Been into the vault, been into the big, deep, dark vault of the Dark City, and I mined out a couple of bitcoins, and I'm going to get rid of them because we need to get the second server up and running now, and that'll put us the two Linux machines on. Big thanks to everybody out there in the world who's kind of been helping on the Linux side of it. Development people, internet DJ console. Is that right? Yes, make sure I get it right. Oh, and they've all fell out of my head now. But you know who you are anyway. I'll get them. Alsa, Shampoo, and some of them other things as well, but I can't remember the name because I'm really trying to cram loads of that information in my head. So information, cramming it into our little tiny pea-like minds or consciousnesses. I mean, of course, mine's vast. It's the size of a planet. But I've still got to condense it down into a stream of comprehension or overstanding. And that works for me as an individual, part of the collective of all things. And this got me looking at how much energy and time goes into so-called movements that seem to don't go anywhere. So I've got kind of an issue with what this word movement means in the connotations of truth movement I've seen a lot of people and come across a lot of people using law to try and, I don't know, prove something, you know, make a stand at some position, you know, or even denounce all positions and rights of ownership and demand. It's like one big giant psyops, to tell you the truth. So I'm going to just have a bit of a fringe around this today, because certain things or connotations were made, and I like to think things as clear as we can here. Something we said we want to do. You know, if people want to throw rocks at us, that's all right. But when you try and make it personal, and you strike at one of us, then you hurt us all. And we're not going to let that happen. So we'll clarify a few things for people. The fear factory and people who whoop it up, people who cannot actually move on. They're always talking about something that happened yesterday. Never about what they're doing today. Always about what other people are doing. Never about what could be achieved. Look out for it. We've met some good people on Disgracebook and the likes of them. We really have. That's not where I come from. It's new ground for me. I've done work and stuff. But I suppose the first time I got into any kind of activism, I had no idea of fear. I was fearless. I remember myself and Nigel going back in the early days, and people were saying about, I can't remember how it got there, and me and Nigel both shouted out, I think it could have been on CMR radio, couldn't it? Which we now know are just using small groups of people to put together and actually sell subliminal advertising. Good stations said this, and a lot of them have come along with the Gladio effect and tried to defend 69,000 people, which turns out to be 27. Yeah, why the Blog Talk have suddenly started hiding their numbers. You can still get the account maximums, of course, Blog Talk. You need to cover it up a little bit better than that. Somebody's telling somebody lies. That's one side of it. The other side of it, which triggered me by Darfy when he came in and ring Pax Monday show, and Darfy's still kicking around with the crew this evening. Pax is still here. We've got our Robo Hippie there in the background. Roboing, hippieing, something, no doubt. Saddam is with us, and our trepid investigator, Dawn of the Dark City. And did I mention Callie and Prasner? I think I did, but I'll mention you again. I've forgotten you once or twice. So, yeah, we're going to have a look at what he triggered us with there, what Darfy actually triggered us with there. Fear porn. Fear porn. You know, how many of these things are really threats? How many of them are threats? Who did we just lose? Sadama, right. As long as it's not the server, we're okay. So, yeah, fear porn. And Darfy mentioned a few things about it. You know, how much of this is real? You know, chicken disease, cow disease, mad flu virus. You know, the flying green, gobbling green monkey disease. I mean, come on. You know, and all along, you know, you find that there's too much aluminium, lethal dose of aluminium inside child's vaccines. You know, the actual people who die of bird flu, the only people who died of it, the people who took the antidote. Is it an antidote? Vaccine? Serum? Whatever it was, you know. Let's save people from bird flu. Take this and they die. So, you know, I'm a bit lost with all that. I really am. But I do know that I am now, I don't know what could come next. Darfy, do you want to throw some fear porn at us, bro? Have we lost Darfy? Or is he muted up? I've got...
Sorry, I'm really stupid. I'm muted.
There you go. Your first...
I started going into it. And
sorry.
Damn it. Well,
Try again, bro. Go on.
Yeah, what I'd like to say, I'd like to kind of help kind of dispel a bit of fear porn. I'm sure we've all heard of the Spanish flu. It was around World War I, 1914, maybe a bit before. It killed a lot of people. Spanish flu was one of the most devastating diseases we've ever been told about. But only like 1% of the people that got it ever died from it. And if you look at things like SARS, swine flu, bird flu, you're talking in the people that contracted it, you're talking in the 0.0001% of people actually dying from it. But yeah, it's supposed to be a pandemic, epidemic. We're all supposed to get vaccinated. I mean, maybe back in the 1914, healthcare wasn't so good. So maybe more people died from it. But it's still only a percent of the people that ever caught it died from it. That's all I was going to say about it.
Rather interesting, actually. The Spanish flu, quite interesting that. All those who were treated with aspirin, which was a new drug at that time, for the flu, were the ones who died from it. And those people who were in homeopathic hospitals and not treated with aspirin, none of them died at all. Very strange.
I've got a whole other angle on the fear thing at the moment. I've just been commenting on Facebook on one of our lovely Dom's threads. Dom seems to be in a little bit of a spin out at the moment about COINTELPRO and this truth movement, as it's called, being infiltrated and wondering how much of it is real and all that kind of thing. And I'm of the opinion that it doesn't actually matter. Don't join any groups. Don't be part of any movements. Just go out there and live your own truth. And as for infiltration into these movements and whatever you want to call it, even if the truth movement is 75% COINTELPRO or shills or agents of some sort, doesn't actually matter because, they're people too, and they also need to wake up, just like all of the people watching Coronation Street and drinking Diet Coke and all that sort of stuff. They need to come to awareness of what's real and what's not. And the only thing that we can do as individuals, not as groups, not as movements, as individuals, is live our truth and share our truth with others. And if it rubs off, so much the better. And if it doesn't, so what? At least you're living your own truth. And what's to fear in that? And I know our Dom actually knows this stuff as well. He often comes on. I mean, I'll get caught up in the fear now and again, and I'll post something, and Dom will have a little word with me about, haha, Callie or Kaz, you're caught up in the fear again. So I know that's just what he's doing at the moment. But it looks like our Dawn's got something she wants to contribute. Hello, Dawn.
Yeah, hi. Just when you said about Diet Coke, it triggered something. Coca-Cola is the secret ingredient of Coca-Cola. I seen something about it the other day. It was an old recipe that was found in an old newspaper about the Coca-Cola secret ingredient being 8 ounces of alcohol. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. And obviously, while we're on the subject of Coca-Cola and all these fizzy drinks and everything, you should look at the ingredients in them, because a lot of them have this, or majority of them have this aspartame or other neurotoxins. They basically kill your brain cells off. These sweeteners, they say like your Diet Coke's a lot better for you than the ordinary Coke, but really it's full of all sorts of poisons and artificial rubbish. All of it is bad for you, but that's all I wanted to say anyway. For now.
I was just going to say yet again with we're supposed to be scared of everything, you know. Big horse meat scandal in the UK. A lot of people may be vegetarian or vegan, but if you eat meat, what's wrong with eating horse? I can only say that maybe the fact you're not told you're eating, that's the scandal. That's not bad for you. In fact, apparently your horse is one of the better meats to eat. It's kind of very low in fat, high in protein. And it's probably better than any other meat to eat. But for some reason, there's something going on right here now. We're supposed to be scared, you know, and maybe that's leading to legislation that's going to take freedoms away from smaller producers. I don't know. And I think we're going to pass that on to Prod. I don't know if he's going to talk about that or not, but he's the next one on.
Well, it's actually made, Callie, just you're a computer. So I just wanted to say on the subject of Diet Coke and aspartame and all these poisons that they are putting in the food, there's no doubt about it, that there's actually no need to be fearful of these things. as long as you are aware and live in awareness. You go to the supermarket and you read the labels. Don't buy Diet Coke because it's full of aspartame, and you know that it's full of aspartame. You don't even need to read the label, you know. So fear needn't be an issue. I think living in awareness and living in truth is actually the way forward. And it's probably the same with the horse meat thing as well, although I'm vegetarian, so it doesn't actually affect me.
Well, you get told by people that you have to have a certain amount of fear, otherwise you'll burn yourself on a fire. But that's utterly missing the point. The point is, if you know fire burns, then you make sure that you don't stick your hand in a fire. You don't have to be afraid of it, just, you know, don't stick your hand in it. The problem with horse meat is because they use a drug with horses called bute. And bute is a very, very dangerous drug. I'm surprised they even give it to horses, but it's certainly very dangerous for human beings. And so this is one of the reasons that they're hesitant about people eating horse meat. Although I must say that the French eat horse meat and have done for a very long time. So if you're into that, go for it.
Yeah. I think Bob's got something to add.
This is Nigel. I'm just going to come in on the horse meat and phenylbutazone. It's actually not that long ago that people were taking phenylbutazone like Smarties. I actually worked in a drugs company in the 1970s, and they were widely used. Phenylbutazone was prescribed for all sorts of things. So, you know, it's not like we haven't been giving it out. It may be a recent thing that we've suddenly decided it's only good for horses, but loads of people were taking phenylbutazone for years. Coming back to the fear factor, it's often an issue of lack of trust, and people feel insecure. They can't trust things. So someone was talking about the vaccination programs. And this is one particular area where there's a lot of mistrust about the motives of the people who are running the vaccination programs, the institutions, and often the where they're coming from. You may have read about this. It's been quite hyped in the media recently about resistance to vaccination programs in Pakistan and more recently in Nigeria. Now, I've actually been reading something about this just today, and what these people were saying is, from Nigeria, they're mainly Muslims, and they're saying, look, the Westerners are coming here and telling us you've got to give this to your kids, and if you don't give your kids this, then you're doing wrong. But these are the same powers who are actually denying people, kids, medication. They denied thousands of children medication in Iraq when they had the boycott there and stopped them from being imported. So thousands of Iraqi children died as a result of the West withholding medication from Iraq. And now you're doing the same to children in Iran. We've got an economic embargo on Iran, and we're stopping them from importing medications. So more Iranian children will die. So what these people were saying was, look, you're denying our children medication in parts of the world, and then you're telling us we've got to give our kids these vaccinations, they've got to have them, or we're denying them something that they should have. And therefore, can you see where that mistrust has come from?
Go on, Prasa.
Well, I was going to say something about bute, and that is that I knew a vet who'd managed to stab himself with a syringe that contained bute in, and that was considered a medical emergency. So but I hadn't known about it in other contexts. As far as the vaccines go, it would do people well to look on TED Talks for a talk by Bill Gates, where he's talking about global warming, which is, of course, a hoax. But he's explaining that the way to deal with things is the first biggest problem we've got is population, and that his preferred method of reducing population is through vaccination and birth control. And, you know, the vaccines have been used. In fact, they've been shown in a number of third world countries to be used for the purpose of inducing infertility. So it's no wonder that that these people are not trusted. And Carly's got something to add too.
On the subject of vaccines, it's interesting that the powers that be actually use fear of disease to propagate these vaccines around the world, whereas it's actually the vaccines themselves that are the problem. And a result of that fear is that there are tens of thousands of children in India at the moment who are paralysed, having been injected with the polio vaccine. So that's part of the fear factory, the fear porn, fear this disease, take this medicine. It's not necessary.
It's also claimed that, and I've lost my thread, but Dawn's got something to add next.
Just while you were talking about Bill Gates and his talk on like global warming and all that kind of stuff, I'm sure he also said something about wanting carbon dioxide emissions to be down to 0%. Now, the only way that would be possible is if, because plants need it to breathe and humans exhale it, would be to kill life, basically.
Is that carbon dioxide or
carbon dioxide, CO2.
Not monoxide?
No, it's carbon dioxide. Well, definitely said CO2.
Yeah, well, yeah. Bill Gates is definitely a plant then, because anyone with a little bit of sense would realise that plant growth can increase up to 400% if you bring the particles per million from backgrounds about 250, 350 normally, bring it up to about, 1,600 particles per million. And you'll get accelerated growth in plants. So it's not hidden knowledge. The idea to actually put polytunnels or commercial greenhouse type things along the edges of motorways. But it's carbon monoxide that gives off rather than dioxide. Callie.
I've just put a bit of chocolate in my mouth. Oops. I was just going to say, even if you are of the opinion that global warming is real and that it's caused by humans, it's anthropogenically caused, the fact is, as Paul was just saying, CO2, which is the thing that they're saying we need to reduce the levels of, CO2 actually is what plants thrive on. And if CO2 levels do shoot up to any kind of abnormal levels, let's say, then the growth of those plants will quickly balance out that excess of CO2 and will actually put oxygen into the air anyway. So there's absolutely nothing to fear from CO2 or global warming.
There is, because then these rich people have to cut their lawns more often. So then they have to spend more money on gardeners. And so you can understand, can't you? And it looks like...
Who we got? Darthy.
Darthy would like to come in next.
Sorry, muting. Thank you very much. I was just going to say, I think that maybe our environment is a little bit self-balancing in that way. Like you say, if there's more carbon dioxide floating around, it will get sucked up in the oceans. The ocean creatures will use it. Also, the plants will take it in, and they will generate more oxygen. But there's also another aspect to it where... You get raw vapor in the air, which forms clouds. And clouds, they can either keep the heat in or they can reflect the heat out. And I think a lot of the global warming models don't take this into consideration. It's quite clear. I think it's a self-regulating system. I don't know what else to say about that.
It's okay, Darcy. I'm here. That's why we use the numbers, man. If there's no numbers there, then you're all right. I'll jump in and do something. If we see a number there, we can pass it round. You know, I can hear what you're saying. Where I am here, just on the east of the M60 Ring Road of Manchester, we used to have a strip of green land there. And as long as there's plants there and there's trees there to actually take up the CO2, then you're right. But if the plants aren't there and the trees aren't there, then the analogy fails completely. Of course, the plants can come, but you know, and this happens almost immediately. You know, the more CO2 there is, the higher the yield will become, the bigger the plants will grow. It's a natural thing. And CO2 is actually quite a heavy gas, so it's low lying. It suits its purpose, really, for plants. Now, I mentioned 1,600 particles per million. Now, look, you've got to get over, like, I think it's 2,200 before it starts to have any effect on us lot, you know, us peoples. Now, like I said, background, city centre Manchester, I suppose it'll get a little bit higher and so forth, but normally it's 250 to 350. Mm-hmm. And they're saying they want to bring it out. Now, I don't know if they mean they want to take production of CO2 and drop it in factory conditions. But like Dawn's quite correct, if you cut it completely, that means there's nobody left on Earth. The planet would die out. It's preposterous. It really is. So, anyway, I do believe we've got Prajna there wants to throw something in. Just before you do, mate, my point being there is, if we keep letting the so-called authority, and my mind jumps down to Hastings again, and with their road going through, and Boris and those people who are helping out down there, that's like ramming a monoxide needle in through the countryside. I know what happened here now. I mean, once that occurs, then the plants disappear, the agriculture disappears, the concrete appears, factories come up, warehouses are thrown up in a matter of days, and then that artery has been infected permanently. Is it possible to do it? I don't know. I don't know. Is it possible to actually dumb down an entire city of people by, you know, shutting out the sunlight, by dumbing people down through putting stuff in the food and so forth? Is it possible? And then would you, to control those people, would you build roads around them so you could move troops around to control the cities? Yeah, it's possible. It is possible, yeah, of course it is. On the other side of it, you might just have greedy people who are just trying to get rid of the waste, you know? But yeah, I think it's important that we do keep these green strips of land between cities and towns, and each town should have a little bit of green belt that you go through. So, come on, we don't need to turn everything into concrete. Anyway, Prajna, go on, mate.
Paul, really, I think that our towns should be food forests. You know, we should be able to walk down the street and pick stuff to eat whenever we like. Just following on from what you're saying, but I was going to go back to what Nigel was saying earlier about this hypocrisy of saying we have to vaccinate your children because we care about their health, and at the same time denying them all the medicines. And the same is true with the CO2 thing. On the one hand, they're saying we have to cut down the CO2 emissions, and on the other hand, exactly the same people are chopping down all the Brazilian rainforests and so on, which are the lungs of the earth. They're the things that create the oxygen and that take in all the carbon dioxide. This whole carbon dioxide thing is just yet another scam in which they can enforce yet another tax on people. So you've got to look at the difference between what these people are doing and what they're saying. They're saying cut CO2, and at the same time, what are they doing? Destroying all the rainforests.
But I think we've got to be careful not to get into the fear agenda ourselves, which is kind of what this show's supposed to be about, isn't it? And yeah, there are chemtrails and there is deforestation and there are curbs on our freedom and liberty and all this sort of stuff. And all being imposed on us by some very rich and very powerful individuals and groups. But the thing is not to be afraid. It's in fear that they control us. As long as we're living in that energy of fear, then we're not actually proactive. We're not doing anything to counter these situations that we face. When we move out of fear and into awareness and into love and into creativity, then we actually stand a chance of negating all these things, of stopping these people even in their tracks. But we have to be proactive, and we can't be proactive while we're in fear. We certainly can't be effective while we're in fear.
And this is what I was saying about you don't have to fear fire. You just have to know what its characteristics are. And if you know what its characteristics are, you don't stick your hand in it. Likewise with all these Illuminati or whoever else they may be, that's doing all this stuff. We don't have to be in fear of them. We just have to be aware of what they're up to. Paul, you had something to say.
What was it? I can't remember now. It's dropped straight out of my head. Oh, right, that was it. So we can reject carbon monoxide and global warming. But just before we do, let's make sure now we're talking about the same topic. This global warming would be what was once called climate change, was it? Or was global warming climate change?
It was called climate change. It was called global warming. And then now it's climate change because they found that the global warming stuff was all a whole lot of stuff dreamed up by some.
It's the same thing.
Yep.
It's the same. Right. Okay. Right. So before it was global warming, it was changeable weather. So we had changeable weather, global warming, climate change, and now we're back to the weather changes. Is that where we are?
No, we started off when I was at school. It was next ice age was imminent, coming any time soon. And then a whole lot of scientists at University of East Anglia, amongst others, drummed up this thing saying that there's global warming, all the glaciers were going to melt, and most of the civilized world would be flooded out with water. And then that was shown to be a whole load of bullshit. So now they've just called it climate change, but still they're going to introduce their carbon tax credits and
Prize number. Before we go down another rabbit hole, because we've beaten this one up a little bit now. So we're actually saying the weather changes.
Yeah. It has been known to, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, okay. I'm just wondering what we would call it if it didn't change. You know, would we call it constant? Would we call it
would depend whether it's summer or winter, I think.
Could it be called maybe? We could use the word perhaps. Perhaps it would be weather. No. We call it weather because it does change. Whether it's going to rain, whether it's going to be sunny, whether it's going to be foggy, whether it's going to snow, whether it weather. That's why we call it weather, I suspect. So I reckon we've bagged that one now. So we'll throw out climate change, global warming, and we'll keep the weather changes. Are we all right with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon. And I reckon the weather's been changing since we got here, and I reckon it'll continue to change. And we'll see other what we know as phenomena, which is whether that has now changed into something that we don't know, because that's what change does. It changes. It means it's going to be different. Right. So we've bagged that one. Right. What's another fear factory? We've had about all
chemtrails. chemtrails, oh, that flows directly on.
Now, you might have me there now. My jury's out on these chemtrails. I'm certain something's changed. But like I said, I'm actually certain that change is in, you know, kind of a constant. So you might have me there. Something's not right. I mean, at the moment, my jury is favouring in rich, arrogant... I'll just put a pause in there so it'll look like it's me cut out swearing, but I'm not even gonna put that much energy into it. But rich, arrogant individuals getting rid of waste. I wouldn't surprise me. Chemical waste, shove it in the fuel, just get rid of it. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Like I say, I don't know though.
They've done it with fluoride, Paul.
Yeah,
that's precisely what they did with fluoride. They put it was waste, toxic waste, and they put it in their water.
All right, hang on a minute. There's two different, there's particle sizes of fluoride, isn't there? I mean, again, a big fear, I think, maybe kind of thrown here, and a lot of mongery has then gone into it. Particle size of fluoride, have a look at that. The fluoride that's put in the tap water in the United States, the particle's too big, it is actually waste, it's toxic waste. But the fluoride used in toothpaste and so forth, medical, I think it is, medical grade, but research it, check it out, is a lot smaller, and that can pass through your system. That's how I kind of get it at the moment.
May I just jump in, Paul, and just say, you've got naturally occurring fluoride, which is all around us all the time. It's in the air that we breathe, and it's in tiny, tiny, minuscule amounts. And it's actually beneficial to us, and that's naturally occurring fluoride. But the sodium fluoride, which is a byproduct of aluminium processing, and
the first time it came in came really to be a problem was during the Manhattan Project when they were developing the nuclear bomb, and then one of the side production things from nuclear weapons is fluoride. They ended up with all this sodium fluoride, and also when they're making phosphate fertilizers and also in the aluminium industry, they end up with a great deal of sodium fluoride, and that's what they got a propagandist to convince all the dentists in America that this was actually good for you. The sodium fluoride actually weakens your teeth and causes a problem called dental fluoridosis. So
but
it's
anyway,
worth investigating.
That's the different types of fluoride, Paul.
All right, yeah, I got that, I think.
So go on, you were making a point on.
Yeah, because I knew there was, you see. And there is some of it, it can pass through your body without causing another part of it. It's potentially lethal. Fluoride's just one of them, of course. Colloidal silver. A lot of people generate their own colloidal silver. Simple electrolysis taking place. But once you can see, if anybody's made it, you get like smoke. Looks like, of course it's not smoke, because it's in water. But it looks like smoke, right? It's too big. Particles are too big. You've gone too far. That's where you should time it when you're making it, if you're going to do it. You know? So, a lot of the time, that's not going to work. And to get real tiny particle sizes and get into your bloodstream, and then it can do its little magic. That's what it does. Now, again, I'm not bang up on all these things. I just cruise through it, and I suggest that's what most people do. You know, do your own research and see how it works for you. But like, don't start taking colloidal silver every day. Don't start to get worried and upset and frustrated over, you know, toothpaste or whatever else it might be. That is the game. I'm getting more and more convinced of that. That's the game. And before you know it, you're running around, you're that confused, you don't know what to pick up, you don't know what to put down. Half the stuff on the shelves in the shop's no good for you. You can't eat eggs, don't eat meat, don't eat chicken, you know, the cows are now horses, and the sheep are now chickens. How do you keep up with it all? How do we keep up with it? It's all going to kill us and we're all going to die. Now, there's a lot of evidence to say we should be living a lot longer than we are. A lot longer than what we are. You know, what's the fear I mean, we don't have to go back too far before people revered their ancestors, not buried in them all and burnt them and wanted to get rid of them as quick as possible, you know, because they probably abandoned them somewhere and didn't care about them anymore. What kind of a society have we been living? So I'm happy with the little steps I've made. They're only tiny steps, of course. You know, I get that. Often, I am but a grain of sand falling from my hand in the passage of time. Of course, many people say, oh, is that Socrates? And I would respond, no, it's Bill and Ted. Because that's my generation. And generations before us have come up the same. And we touched on this today. It's like the same old cycles going round and round again. I hear people saying, oh, we're entering a golden age. Did we enter a silver or a bronze one before we entered the gold? Do we prepare ourselves? Is that what's coming next? It's always coming next. That's one thing I've noticed. We're always being told tomorrow it's going to be better. Invest a little bit more. Work a little bit harder. You know? A few more hours to put in. You get a couple of weeks off, you know? Once a year, you know? Maybe. I even get 4 weeks off. I can get 5 if you've got a really good job and you can go away with your family and realise you all despise one another. And then come back and pay it off on your credit card for the next 26 weeks. Is that really what it's all about? I've lived that life. And yeah, it's great. You know, it's great to be able to do those things and see those things. And if you haven't, you get the opportunity. Why not? And now I choose to do it a little bit different. That's a choice, or at least that's the way it appeared to me. Like I was making a choice between doing it their way or doing it my way. I realise now that was me. Once given a choice, I put myself under demand again. So I've kind of coming up with it, I think. Look out, I might be starting to formulate a planner. Maybe we shouldn't do it anyway. Maybe we should remain, as you say, Callie, individuals, self-empowered individuals, doing our own stuff for no other reason than we can. Let's stop trying to justify ourselves and our knowledge, our egos. Let's stop trying to come up with the better answer. Let's forget the ever-ending debate. Let's start putting these things into practice. If you're like me, the little steps, bit of a stumbling fool, you know. I accept that. I'm not as clever as a lot of people. I've got a funny accent. A lot of people can't understand or comprehend or overstand. I'll get it right, Jabber. I'll get it right. Overstand. You can't do that. Well, that's okay. Because I'll stumble. I'll keep taking my little steps. Just remember that. We all make a difference every day. Every day we make a difference. Don't let anybody tell you you're not important. Don't let anybody tell you they're above you. And don't let anyone tell you you're above them. I've heard them all say it, you know, about being the change. Not we are change. We are change to me is like saying, oh, well, I'm lacking and I'm not very confident and I need a little group to come together and we'll be able to do it. Well, look, we've done that here. But it ain't so we can all sit around and be a little group. That's not what it's about. People come, people go. Some stay for a while, some make it their own. That's how it is. That's how it should be. Some of us want to move upon the land. Some of us want to be resident upon the land. Same stuff. We must mirror it. Mirror it. If you see someone out there in your life you don't like, put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in their situation. Open yourself up to accepting them. Anyone can throw a rock. That's for kids. What I'm talking about is opening your heart. Opening your heart to everything without judgment. Now that takes boys and girls with what we call in the North, balls. No disrespect to the ladies, because they all know what I'm talking about, the ones who've got them. Anyone can throw a rock. Anyone can put somebody down because they're a little bit cleverer than them, because they've studied a book or they've got a degree. Oh, yes. I know this, you know. Well, try your personal self-realization. What's wrong with that? Too scary for you? I suspect it might be. I suspect the diluted fear that's put down in everybody's, through everybody's TV rooms, all over our globe, selling them war and tyranny, amphitheatre games, where men run round and defeat other men. We cheer, and a winner and a loser goes away. And you move across the road, move across the sea. You get into a far-off distant land, and there's women and children being blown apart so we can sit round and watch football on a Saturday. Not my world. I don't despise it. That's where I'm from. That's where I'm from. I suspect most of you might be as well. Maybe you're not. Maybe you come from somewhere else. But it's there. It's subliminal. It's right on the surface. You don't have to look very far to see it. You don't have to dig down or go down a rabbit hole. Just scratch the surface and you can see it. You don't need to spend hours sat with some guru master and learning the techniques, although quite a few of us have. Like, that's good. That's not bad. But you don't have to anymore. You just need to sit back, take a few deep breaths, and you can see it. You don't have to do this now. Do whenever you want. It's a free choice. Whenever you're ready. No one's going to judge you for taking your time. No one's going to put you down for being last or first. No one. I'm collecting my head today. We move as fast as the slowest. Because this is a real family. A family of individuals. We don't all want to live together in a community. No. We don't. We're brothers and sisters, we're mothers and fathers, we're nieces and nephews. That's who we are. We can make it real. I can make it real. I can. You see? And once we've got I can, we can move on to we can. But until you can do I can, we're kidding ourselves. We really are. So do I need to waffle for another 5 minutes? Nobody's rung in today, have they? It's our Darfy. Quite sure.
Oh, we
do. Weekends. No, we haven't got a number, but we have got a Prajna.
We didn't put the number in for people to call in. I mean, we did earlier for Nigel's show, but we didn't for the Dark City.
Yeah, well... They know where it is. I mean, they know where it is. But yeah, people will get used to that. My apologies. Perhaps I should have put it out earlier there in the show. I made that announcement.
But I was just really enjoying your musings, and I was going off, you know, reflecting on your musings. So if we go a bit quiet sometimes, Paul, when you're musing, that's why, which is a good thing.
Is that like a calm rant? A music?
No, it was a Paul Bob appreciation, lots of love and thank you sort of thing.
Yeah, well, the muse triggers with me from now Dogma, the film Dogma. My favourite religious... and Kevin Smith would hate me for saying that, wouldn't he? My favourite religious biblical text was written by a man called Kevin Smith, who plays Silent Bob. Nothing to do with me at all. My name comes from Lieutenant Commander Bob Buckup, or Robert Buckup, of the 101st Trading Post at your service. If anybody is really interested, as people start to delve into my background and try and find out the shite, let me tell you. Let me tell you some of the dirty, deep stuff. Yes, that's right. Lieutenant Commander Robert Buckock. A pseudonym written by me. Name I used to write under. Now, what's weird about this It'll take me a couple of minutes to tell you. That's good. What's weird about it is nobody ever used to pay any attention to what I wrote, because I used to write under the name Mad Bob of Manchester. Mad Bob Manchester. Because I was. I was making a fact. I was living in an insane world with crazy people, and the people I was talking to were completely psycho, babbling nuts. They were. And a good friend of mine, John Armitage, do you know what, with a Shambhala, Fraser and Kelly met up with him today, actually. It was one of the old convoy crew, the peace convoy, known as the hippie convoy, of course, by the media. And, I've just looked at that, Lieutenant Commander Buttocks. Buttlocks, yeah, you know, book up, sit up, tidy up. Book up, sit up and tidy your room. They were children's cartoons, little characters, children. And that's where the name came from, Lieutenant Commander Book Up. And the Turf Gatherers of Such. It was written by a guy called Kevin. No, it wasn't. The Turf Gatherers of Such was written by a guy called... Oh, it wasn't written by Kevin, actually. But there was a couple of guys... You're getting me dragged off now. A couple of guys who used to write Gentlemen's Expeditionary Parties. They were about our adventures, what we did, but written in the tone of the 19th century and the language of the 19th century. So that's where that actually comes from. No great intrigue. It was a character. So that was where the first Bob came from. Of course, it was
still
Mad,
a character.
Mad Bob. It was Mad Bob of Manchester. And that man who you met today, John, he actually said to me, change your name. So I did, to Lieutenant Commander Robert McMad, which of course is Bob, Mad Bob, excuse me, is Bob, Mad Bob of Manchester, Lieutenant Commander Bob Robert McMad. And I started to get loads of response, because people don't want to talk to someone who declares themselves as mad. It's neuro-linguistic programming. If people think that you're have a position of authority, or you have money, or you have you're a doctor, or you're a sir, or a lord, or a lady, or a deacon, they immediately put themselves into that position. I mean, anyone who's played with these titles and these names and these deeds will be aware of that. You can use the shifting position of the name to put yourself into the position of authority. And this would actually, learning to do these things, you never need to go to court again. You'll not need to go to court. I mean, you won't. You might, you know, I mean, it depends on what you need to know, what you need to learn. But you don't have to get into a confrontation with a policeman. You don't ever have to get pulled over in your police car. You don't even have by the police in your car. You don't ever get stopped. You won't ever get searched. You walk through customs without ever being asked or harassed. You walk straight through like they're not even there. Have conversations with them. You really will. It is that easy to do. Of course, you have to be focused on yourself to be able to do it. Totally and absolutely focused on yourself and without fear. Without fear. That's something else. Anyway, that's about it. We're about done. Thanks to the crew for being here. It's the Dark City Show. You can get up and get us to ramble about whatever you want. You look at the schedule, you'll see we're there. We don't have any needs. I'm going to take that back. We are now, we're still looking for a few more hosts. Guests are always welcome, but we could do with guests who can interview themselves at the moment, because we're running out of hosts. But it'll all come together. If you do want to donate, you can do, because we're spending money now. I did say when we come to spend money, I'll let you know. So we're going to spend about £150, and then about another, I think it's about another 70 quid on top of that, for the stream for 3 months. Not quite sure what blocks we have to buy in. But if it's cheaper in 12 months, we'll do it that way. It makes no difference. We'll just do it monthly. And that's it. I'm done. I'm going to play you this. It came in from Adrian Jolly. I believe he's up in a town called Mosley. And it really sparked with me when I heard it. So I'll play you this on the way out.
been listening to lies all my life. Time to turn off that road. Join the side of justice, free from remote control. Radio independence, get the real news. Listen to the free radio, make up your mind and choose.
Dark City Radio, the only free radio in the world.
Patenting the ideas, controlling communication, persuading us that we're free. Radio independence, get the real news. Listen to the free radio, make up your mind and choose. Listen to the free radio, make up your mind and choose. You don't want to wear a barcode, you don't want your jeans on file. If you don't want the voice of America, you've got to retune the dial. To radio independence, get the real news. Listen to the free radio, make up your mind and choose. Radio independence, get the real news. Listen to the free radio, make up your mind and choose. Listen to the free radio, make up your mind and choose. When at last the people are free to be who we want to be, we'll take away all our pain and we'll go dancing in the rain.
What makes it what it is?
Agriculture. deserts glowing green. Shattering the insect's dreams. Mobile masts, electric screams, silencing the song of spring. What makes a place? What makes it what it is? Shut away. Tomorrow's dreams asleep today. In beyond, behind, between island woods and secret stream. What makes a place? What makes it what it is? Here we stand on borderlands. We hold the future in our hands.